You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 9, Episode 1 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. Today we're beginning Season 9, and as we typically do, we're going to be focusing on a certain theme for this season. And in this season, we're going to be looking at some lessons from Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus. So in today's lesson, we're going to begin by looking at something that Paul talked about in the first chapter of 1 Timothy, where he described the goal of our instruction. So let's get started. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Why do we preach and teach the gospel? What's the purpose behind continuing to engage in these types of efforts? It's more than just fulfilling a command. It's more than just following what is done in the New Testament, though those are certainly important. But Paul explained to Timothy here that when we preach and teach, we have a purpose behind it. There is a reason why we are doing it. There is something that we are trying to accomplish. And here in this verse that we just read in 1 Timothy 1:5, he talked about the goal of our instruction. And so in this episode, that's what we're going to talk about. What Paul said is the goal of our instruction. And so you look at that verse, 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction, number one, is love. When we look at the New Testament, most of the time when you see the word love being used, it is the Greek word agape, which is an active love. It's a love that seeks to put the interest of others ahead of our own interest. And over in the book of Philippians, Paul talked about the attitude that we are to have, the attitude that we are to have that is like what Christ had toward us. And in chapter 2 of Philippians, he begins by talking about love. He says in verse 1, if there's any consolation of love. In verse 2, he says that we are to maintain the same love. Well, this is what we're talking about. The goal of our instruction is love. It's putting others ahead of ourselves. And he goes on there in Philippians chapter 2 and talks about how we are to be selfless. We are not to be selfish. We are not to be wrapped up with empty conceit, as he says in verse 3, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. And then he would go on there in Philippians 2 and describe the example of Christ. We are to be like Christ. He was willing to come to earth. He was willing to take on the form of a servant. He was willing to suffer and die on the cross for us. And so if he is willing to do that for us, that was the show of love. Paul says the goal of our instruction is love, that we would show that same type of love. Now, it's not enough just to talk about love. As I said, agape is an active love. It's something that we do. And so when Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction is love, what does that mean? How does that show itself? It's going to show itself in love for God. We love God, and John says in 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. The goal of our instruction is love for God, that we would obey him. Love for the truth, that we would believe the truth and follow after the truth, that we would value the truth. The goal of our instruction is love for God, for his truth, for others, which would include our brethren, as we read about in Philippians chapter 2, that we would regard them as more important than ourselves, even as what Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, that we love our enemies, even those who would do harm to us, that we would want to seek good for them. So Paul told Timothy, as you think about, well, what is our purpose? What are we trying to accomplish when we preach and teach? The goal of our instruction is love. But then he went on in that verse in 1 Timothy 1:5. It's love from a pure heart. Part of our instruction that we give and that we are trying to convey in teaching the gospel is about what someone is going to do, how they are going to obey God, how they're going to follow the truth, how they are going to do good to others. But it's not enough just to have the right actions. It's not enough just to have put on an outward show of what is right and what is good. Paul said to Timothy that this has to come from a pure heart. It is possible for someone to do good for the wrong motive, with impure motives, from an impure heart, that he may do good in order to bring glory to himself, that people would look to him and honor him and speak well of him. That could be his motivation why he does good. And if he didn't receive that, he wouldn't be doing what was good. Someone may live godly in order to gain something for himself. There were those who taught, as Paul would tell Timothy later in this letter, those who would teach that godliness is a means of gain. Well, it is possible to put on a show of godliness and make some gain something for ourselves here in this life. Someone might do that. Someone might teach the truth, as Paul talked about in Philippians 1, in order to bring harm or cause trouble for others. Paul mentioned there in Philippians 1, he was in prison and people were speaking the truth, not sincerely, but because they thought by doing so they would bring harm or cause trouble for Paul. Our hearts must be right if we hope to please God. Jesus said in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the pure in heart." So we need to have love. We need to be showing love. We need to be exercising that. But it has to be from a pure heart. And then 1 Timothy 1:5, the next thing that Paul mentions there, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience. A good conscience is important. However, we know that our conscience is only as valuable as the training that it has received. Paul said in Acts 23 and verse 1 that he lived his life with a perfectly good conscience up until that day. All of that time that he lived with a good conscience included the time when he was persecuting the church and was an enemy of Christ. So our conscience, it can make us feel good about what we're doing, even though what we're doing may not be right. Our conscience has to be trained by the Word of God. The Hebrew writer over in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 talks about how we have our senses trained to discern good and evil. That's the idea of having our conscience, having our minds trained through the Word of God, by practicing the Word of God, which is what he's talking about in that context. We have our conscience, our senses, trained by the Word of God so that we know the difference between good and evil. We know the difference between right and wrong. Our teaching, if we are trying to, in teaching the gospel, and the goal of our instruction is a good conscience, that people could have that good conscience, our teaching must show people the way that is right, not just the way that seems right. The wise man talked about in Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We're not trying to just show the way that seems right to people. We're trying to show the way that is right. What's interesting, if you look over in 1 Peter chapter 3, one of the things that Peter mentioned over here about a good conscience is how we make an appeal to God for a good conscience. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, Peter said, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we hear the gospel and we obey the gospel, which includes, as Peter explained here and other passages talk about, includes being baptized into Christ. When we do that, when we obey the gospel, we are making an appeal to God for a good conscience. We hear the truth, we believe the truth, we obey the truth in understanding the promises of forgiveness, the promise that God will remove our sins. We are baptized into Christ, and in doing so, we are making an appeal to God for a good conscience. We can't wash our sins away ourselves. We are making an appeal through that act of baptism for God to cleanse us of our sins, which He has promised He will do. Then after obeying the gospel, we need to maintain a good conscience through obeying the Lord, through having our senses trained to discern good and evil, as we talked about in Hebrews 5 and verse 14. We follow the Word of God. We cannot allow our conscience to become seared, which is what Paul would talk about in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2, where we no longer feel guilt for sin. We have to maintain a good conscience by continually training it according to the Word of God and following the Word of God so that we do not sear our conscience. But then the final thing that Paul mentioned there in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Faith in the Bible is more than just a belief in God. James talked about in James 2 about how the demons believed and trembled, but they didn't have the saving faith that the Bible talks about. Faith is demonstrated in every area of our lives. Faith without works is dead. Faith in the Bible is an active and an obedient faith. But Paul says here, and this goes back to how our actions must be from a pure heart rather than just for a show. This has to be a sincere faith. Our faith must be sincere. It must be genuine. It must be without hypocrisy. We need to remember that when we follow God, we're not just making a show of it, or must not be making a show of it. We must be following God with a sincere, unfeigned, genuine, non-hypocritical faith. We are to show that faith to others. Others should be able to see this in us. God can see it in us. We're not going to hide anything from Him. He will see that we believe or that we don't believe. But we have to have this faith that is a sincere faith, that is an active faith. This is the goal of our instruction. So when we teach the gospel, we preach the gospel, what are we trying to accomplish? What do we want those that we are teaching, in whatever capacity we're teaching, what do we want them to, where do we want them to go? How do we want them to transform their life and to change? Paul says here to Timothy, you want people to have love. Love as the Bible defines it. Love that is an active love. Love that puts others and God and the truth ahead of ourselves. The goal is love from a pure heart. That we are doing what is right with the right motives. That we have a good conscience. That conscience that has been trained by the Word of God. And we have a sincere faith. Well, back in 1 Timothy chapter 1, how do we accomplish this? How do we make sure we are fulfilling this purpose? Well, here in this context, Paul talks about the wrong way to accomplish our goal. How are we not to do this? Well, verse 3, as I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. We teach strange doctrines, we're not going to fulfill the goal of our instruction. Verse 4, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God which is by faith. If we pay attention to myths, to those things that are not true, if we pay attention to genealogies, those things that don't matter, if we speculate about things that God has not revealed, we are not going to fulfill that purpose. Verse 6, some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussions. If we engage in fruitless discussions, we're not going to fulfill the goal of our instruction. Verse 7, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either about what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. For we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. If we mishandle the scriptures, which will usually come by us not knowing the scriptures the way that we should, we're not going to accomplish our goal. Verse 10, it says, immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. When we teach things that are contrary to sound teaching or to sound doctrine, we're not going to accomplish our goal. So if the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith, and all of those things we mentioned are not the way that we go about it, what's the right way to accomplish our goal? We have to, as Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11, speak as the oracles of God. Speak the things that have been revealed by God. We have to preach the whole counsel of God, Acts 20 and verse 27. And as Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, we have to preach in season and out of season. So we can fulfill this. We can accomplish what we set out to accomplish if we go about it the right way. Speak as the oracles of God. Preach the whole counsel of God. Preach in season and out of season. And if we do that, we can reach that goal. We can lead people to love with a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. That needs to be what our goal is. And when we think about the responsibility of Timothy, the responsibility of Titus, the responsibility of any of us who are going to teach the Word of God in whatever form, whatever capacity we find ourselves doing that, we need to remember this. This is the goal. This is what we're trying to accomplish.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
Before we end today, I want to remind you or to let you know about a new feature that we have on the Plain Bible Teaching website. It's called Plain Bible Teaching Sermons. What we've done is moved another site that I had, DIY Sermon Outlines, and moved the content there over to the Plain Bible Teaching website. So now we have all those resources together on the same site where you can go and find those resources if you're looking for ideas for a sermon or a short talk or an article or some teaching that you're doing. Looking for ideas, you're looking for something that's going to help you, those resources are available. There's over 900 sermons currently there on the website. You can go to sermons.plainbibleteaching.com and find all of those that are available there. Next week on the podcast, we're going to be talking about what Paul said about praying for those in authority. So until then, I hope you have a great week.